Hello everyone, you are listening to No Side But People Side podcast.
This podcast is proposed by Interstice Fajawat, a French-Syrian initiative aiming to share analysis but also more intimate insights about life, society and politics in the Levant and beyond. To read our articles, you will find the link to the webpage in the description of the podcast.
If you like it, please share it with your friends and support us on Patreon.
Hi everyone. Before you listen to this new episode, we wanted to apologize for the poor quality of the recording. We hope you will appreciate the content anyway, and we promise to do better in the coming episodes.
Today we are 8th of March 2025, and we are entering the building of the Mukhabarat, that
military
means military security branch in Swaida.
Tawfiq Nasser, he was ruling this place, one of the officers who were ruling this place.
So the main hall, what we see now is like everything is broken. There is so much glass on the ground. A lot of people came just after the liberation and they took everything, they looted everything.
Yeah.
So here, for example, the doors, the windows, cables, of course, everything is looted. And you have like broken computers on the ground, you have like documents, like classified documents, intelligence service documents everywhere on the ground. And you can recognize these green files that were containing hundreds of information, thousands of information.
For each Syrian, like each person, they have a file. You have information about you, you know, and there were many people who were gathering this information. They were sitting the whole day just writing who you are, what are you doing. Every movement you do, it's written. Which car you took, what time you left, where did you arrive, and even the phone calls. You have a phone calls that are transcribed, like, literally, you know.
And here, for example, we have a file with a photo on the corner.
There are here, like, someone who is related to the army, in Mukhabarat, and here they write all the information about the guy, and, for example, what is his level, let's say, in the Ba'ath party, and if he has any judgment before. And also, like, if he has any relatives in the army. And, like, summary of his life since he was born in his handwriting. You cannot imagine, like, now we are walking above, like, hundreds and thousands of papers. I mean, even the people, they were saying how much money they paid for these papers that are just filled with, you know, with intelligence, with just transcription of phphone calls, WhatsApp, you know, like discussions, and wow, and it's since years, like, wow, like now you can have, I don't know, and even, I mean, you wonder what you do with this, because you have names, like description of very, like specific details about people's lives. This example, it's 98, and this is 89. I mean, it's old. It's old. Wow.
What are you looking?
Wow, it's unbelievable. It's one of his documents. It's like, I think, it's a phone call, and here it's written like normal, عادي. It means it's not important. Here it's important. Like, حديث حول تسليم مصاري مقابل شاب على الأغلب مخاطيف. A discussion about delivering money. It's like a ransom for a guy probably kidnapped. It's in 2020.
So it's somehow a register?
It's a phone call.
Surveillance.
Yeah, it's all calls. Surveillance. It's all surveillance. Here it's like a phone call. It's in 2020. Hello, how are you? How are you? I'm good. And you, where are you? I'm sitting. Where is your husband? He's eating. What he's eating? It's like someone, you know.
He's just sitting with the
yeah,
headphones.
Yeah, they are, wow, observing everyone.
It's like the legacy of Gestapo and Stasi. Somehow, it's like the same job.
Unbelievable. And you have, I mean, here in this room only you have hundreds of thousands of documents, and you have pictures, and you have this one. It's like, this is investigation for an officer. Like, if you want to be an officer, you have all the information about you, you know? Like, here you have all the information, where you come from, like, with the picture, with the... You really don't know from where to start. All these files, you can take them. This is the problem. Like, anyone now can come and take these files.
Like, we do know that anyone can enter this.
I mean, we are not taking them. We are just trying to just understand, or like, well, even though that you know how horrible this regime was, but whenever you read, you look, it's like. Like, it's like the half of the country were informants. Unbelievable. This information, it's a lot. Like, all these, for example, all these, now all this file, is for one person. Like,
you have a date in the first name?
Yeah, this is 2011. They're writing, like, who's him? What he's doing, what he's buying, everything.
Here we have two files, one with the face of Bashar al-Assad, who is waving to someone, and the other one of Hafez al-Assad. What's written on them?
It's Mukhabarat Dar'a intelligence. Here they're saying exactly what, they're speaking about a car, for example. What was in the car, who was in the car, what they did with it. It's surveillance for everything.
Yeah, we can spend hours actually like just describing basic surveillance. It's nothing more, and I mean, it's too much and it's nothing more. And probably in this file there are very, very sensitive information about some people, and even some people who are involved, and you have all the names probably of all the criminals and all the mukhabarat and the main people. And we have all probably also information about compromission, like about snitches, all the names of the snitches, all the names of the main officers, of the secret officers, of everything. So if someone would like decide to work on these files, I think also it's abandoned like this because many people, too many people, they don't want this information to go out. First reason probably because it's the whole private life of someone, and the other reason is that you will discover the amount of people who are just collaborating with the regime. And no one wants to take this risk. And this is also, I think, I don't know if you agree with this, but this is also why probably the current people in charge, like even the people Shara and his government, they know that in all these buildings there are information about them, what they did, and there are proofs. You can investigate crimes, because if the Mukhabarat, they were surveying everyone, they were surveying also the Islamists, and they know about each crime that was committed by other than them also. And even if you would like to, you know, to take all this, to archive all this, to keep it, to study it, it looks impossible. It looks impossible. It's like you would need hundreds of people to work on these files, to distinguish what are the classification, and to, I mean, it's impossible. I think it will just be burnt at some moment, and that's it. So now we cross the yard behind the main entrance, and we will enter a building that is incredible. It's like, how to describe this? When you enter the building, you smell like everything. The building is burned, the ceilings are black, and you smell the burnt. And now we enter a room where you have tons of ashes. And these ashes, they are the remainings of, like, I would say, thousands of files. You have still
all the metal
that is holding the folders. Is making like mounds of metal pieces and a piece of paper and burnt ashes.
Yeah, it's like your feet is going, you know, like 10 centimeters the thickness of, it's like your feet can go, you know, like go deep.
It looks like dirty snow somehow. It looks like snow, dirty snow. And here you have the remaining of the files in the shelves. And it's almost nothing. You cannot read nothing. You cannot read the documents anymore. They are destroyed, and you see the layers of paper, but in ashes.
So now we are going down to the cells. It's one part of the cells that is that are existing in this enormous. Actually, it's a huge place. There are many buildings. There are many places where there are cells. And now we are going down to the basement to one of these cells. And everywhere, I mean everywhere you move, you have piles of documents, and they're all the same intelligence documents where you have pictures of people, you have their identity cards, you have very like specific information about them. And when you see these places, it's like they're abandoned for years and years, and it's unbelievable how the the destruction, the garbage everywhere, like the throwing of everything, the glass. It's wow. I mean, this also says that these places were, before all what happened, before the liberation, they were also in a very bad shape, because this cannot have just been now.
So here is we are in a long, long corridor, dark, and we arrive to the cells. So on my left now, we have walls with a lot of writings from the prisoners. And we have a first small corridor on the left. There were a it's not a corridor. There is a first big cell, collective cell on the left, and the door is gone.
And you see there's not any window.
A grid, just a grid,
yes,
an open grid.
So here you are just like in a tomb, you know?
Can you read what is on the wall?
It's written, علمتني أمي الحب والحنان وعلمتني الدنيا أن لا أثق بإنسان. It's someone who said that my mother taught me love and affection, and life taught me to trust no one.
And next to it there is an eye, like a face, a crying eye. And it's written, the end, and there's a date, 3 of May 2018, 7:05 a.m.
In this first building, we have also the isolation cells, and some of them, they still have the covers. And you see, like, their state and the colors and the writings. And you see the place, it's like... It's so old, it's so dirty, it's smelling like despair, it's smelling death, it's smelling, wow, like you cannot describe, I don't know, it's very hard to describe the feelings, to imagine that someone maybe spent years in this, I don't know, it's very small, this place. And imagine like the situation of despair you are in. That you don't know if you will go out from this place one day, because many people, they did not leave. They stayed years and years, and at the end they were killed. Because many people, they were forgotten in the cells. Because when you are a prisoner here, you have no name, you are a number. And the number, they are just lost in some, these million files that are all over Syria. So you are a number, and no one can know where you are. No one can know what happened to you. And this is why many people now, they, when they are looking for their sons, for it's hard, it's a struggle just to know where the person was.
Let's go to this cell, because I remember there were some nice drawing, if you can translate some of the words. So there's a small house with trees, and the person who was prisoner here was using some purple...
I don't know, they were able to get some I don't know, someone smuggled them, maybe something.
There's a big name written on it.
There are names, it's the people's names. And it's the guy from the resort, for example. And it's in 2009. But yeah, it's a nice drawing of a house in the nature, surrounded by trees, with a nice road leading to this house.
Birds in the sky.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other writings.
People are from Raqqa. Also, I mean, you see, like, we are in Sweden here, and the people, they are from the other part of Syria who were detained here. And the thing is that you don't know how much the people they stayed. You don't know. This is 2019.
Yeah, there's
this
a heart.
This is 1999.
There's a heart, like, drawn with the tips of the fingers.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a couple kissing in a heart also.
Yeah.
We would like to read and to transfer all the thoughts, all the testimonies that are on these walls, because there are hundreds of writings, drawings,
names,
dates. So it's like it's a museum. It's a museum of the barbarity of this regime. Here we cross a hall for another corridor of cells. And we were told that here was sitting the guard. There's a desk, and there are papers on the ground. Here there is a paper with the face of Bashar al-Assad. We are here in the collective cell. And you could see, like, there are remainings of bread and a plate and a bottle of water. And next to it, there are very old, dirty blankets, like from these old hitchy blankets. When we go to the left, we have these cells, individual cells that are like closed blocks with no light, no air, no window, nothing. And between the cells, we were told, like, there are some bars above our heads, in the corridor between the cells, and above there are hooks.
People, they were being hanged from their arms, and they were lit,
for
you know?
Torture.
Yeah, for torture, and your feet cannot touch the ground. You see, this document is like the daily check of all the detainees. You have all the names of detainees here.
Just here on the ground,
yeah.
Next to photos of Bashar al-Assad.
And most of them, they are military.
Military.
Yeah, they are soldiers, all of them. Like, they're writing why he's there.
What are the reasons for him?
I don't know, like fighting, shooting, something like this.
Let's go behind. Here is the garage, and you have dozens of cars that were looted and destroyed, looted by the people after the fall of the regime. Even you know that the regime fell and there is no one here, you feel insecure. There are people in different places also who are taking things.
I mean, they use the chaos and they use the situation. And I mean, it's not to justify their acts, of course, but... they're impoverished during decades now, you know, and of course, like, there are many trees in this place, but they are on the way of being cutted, and there are people who are surveying, let's say, like, from one of the local factions in Sweda, but I don't think it's their priority, and they cannot, I think, control. I mean, some people, they will not listen. They will say, okay, but why I would listen to you if you are saying, telling to me not to enter to this place? He will tell him, no, me is like you, I will go, I do whatever I want. So I don't know how much also the people, they listen, they're aware, or they care even if they cut a tree or two or all the trees here for them, or they want to heat themselves, or they want to make money by selling. And here you see all these, like, you have maybe, I don't know, like 15 cars here. I mean, they are only the metal
carcass.
Yeah, this is what stayed, nothing else. Everything is taken. And this, I mean, this was 3 months ago. I mean, we are not speaking about years. And this is the thing that's incredible. what you see here, the state of the place, it's like it's since years, you know, abandoned and looted through. But I think what someone said also, it's like it's all the revenge from the people against this regime, you know. It's translated like this. People, they just took, they looted everything, they destroyed everything. They wanted to tear it apart, you know, this regime. And this is somehow a way of contesting, of protesting, of showing the anger and the you know, like the desperation and the rage of the people. It was like this. You destroy everything.
So now, after we crossed the whole military compound, we arrived just behind all these buildings, and there are some kind of hidden cells, hidden because they are in a small building that looks like any other building. And when you go through the here, there is a passage, but there are some metal. And here we enter a long corridor with there's the smell still. The smell of sewage, of toilet, of and you have it's long green and white corridor full of writings. You cannot even read the writings because it's like they destroyed the wall somehow. And you have these cells with blankets and bottle of water, plates. And here you have toilets. I mean, we cannot really call it toilets. There are holes. There are small cells and collective cells. And cannot describe the smell. And there are small windows with grids. And here at the end of the corridor, there is a big cell. And here you can see a lot of writings. And it feels like we go back in time. And they said these cells are...
It's for the people who are fighting the state. Like all the people who are like with the free army, who are against the state. They were all put here. It was called the terrorist prison here. And it's the most horrible. You see even from the state of the prison, from the shape of it, it's... you see even the... How are the... They are very old. I mean, I don't know how... How old are these places? How many people they were here? They were saying that they were sewage in the cell itself,
yeah. Okay, we just came out of this creepy cells, and we noticed that above the door, I mean, there's no door anymore, as everywhere else, but just above this entrance, you have an old French writings from 1934. And it's written Bâtiment 1934, locaux disciplinaires. So this shows that this building is from the 30s and it was used by the French as a disciplinary cells for the soldiers, maybe the French soldiers. And it was used by the Assad regime as a place for detaining the somehow political prisoners and fighters who were fighting the regime. Oof, the feeling is very horrible.
I don't know. There were people working there every day. I mean, I cannot imagine. I could not believe to go out. It's really hard to even describe sometimes. It's hard to imagine how it was happening. And the people who were with the prison guards, I mean, I don't know. How can you have a dual life, you know? Like to be here working and then you have a family or... I don't know. You cannot be sane. You cannot be in this state of mind. It's like you are schizophrenic. You know, you have two lives. These people, they were not sick. They are just. I don't know. They're just horrible people. Because they are not sick. They are. They were doing this with their full, their.
Yeah, exactly.
They knew exactly what they were doing and they were enjoying it.
Oof. Maybe we can leave the place now. We'll leave this heavy feeling behind us. And it's very close from the street. You see the houses all around. So some people, they are living and they have a view on this place. I think they were probably scared even to look out of the window.
At the moment you're forbidden. You have no right to look from your window.
I guess you can even disappear if they see you, like looking. It's like this house is just above. So, okay, we just left the compound. The sun is here, the light is back, you see people in the street. Immediately you come out, it's like you go back to the everyday life. It's quite disturbing.
Yeah, it is disturbing, and it's very close to people. I mean, you have this building that is just immediately on the door. I mean, I have no idea how... I don't know. It's all very dystopic anyway, this... all what was happening in Syria. I mean, you see the amount, even, you know, like, each time you're amazed by the scale, you're amazed by the ways. Yeah.
It's a system, it's a whole organized, well-organized system of terror and fear and violence and torture and disappearance. They know everything about everyone, and if they know that anyone is like criticizing them or having some information that they should not have, but you can just disappear.
Despite of whether you know something or not, everyone has a file. Everyone is observed, you know? And whenever they start to have any doubt, you know, even if you're from a family where someone is known to be opposed, it's... and you have... I don't know how many people, they were informants actually. This is how also the Assad regime, they turn the people against each other. There's no trust in between the people because you could not know who is informant. Among maybe each five people, there are three or four, they're informants. I mean, it's also all this, you know, like telling the people that this is how you will save your country and this is how you will build like a safe place for you and for your children by snitching. I mean, he destroyed the fabric of the Syrian society. Other than the sectarianism that he planted everywhere and with his clan. I mean, this is horrible. All these documents, all these writings. How many people, they were just writing reports, observing others. And I mean, this was the main fear, actually. That you don't know if your neighbor is writing a report. Even the people, they don't know if his brother or if your brother is writing a report against you. Yeah. You need a long time to rebuild this this trust also. And this is why we see now all the incidents that are happening in Syria and all the killing and all the revenge and...
But actually, regarding the scale of this dictatorship, it's very surprising that the revenge killings are not much more, because anyone could have a reason. Anyone could have a reason. You have at least one person that you know that it is a snitch, it was working for the government, it was... anyone.
This podcast will be our way to share with you our reflections during our stay in Syria, so please stay tuned for the coming episodes. And for this project to happen, we will need your support. You will find the link for our fundraising campaign in the description of this podcast.